Good morning. It's Monday, January 20th, 2026. Markets are closed for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It's a good day to take a breath and read up on a week that's going to move fast. Let's start with the biggest story. The Greenland standoff just escalated significantly. On Saturday, President Trump announced a new round of tariffs on 8 European countries: Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, the Netherlands, Norway, Sweden, and the United Kingdom. Starting February 1st, the tariffs begin at 10% and rise to 25% on June 1st, unless, in Trump's words, a deal is reached for the complete and total purchase of Greenland. The trigger was a NATO military exercise called Operation Arctic Endurance. Denmark invited its allies to Greenland for a joint security exercise, a show of solidarity after months of American pressure on the territory. Trump called the European presence very dangerous, accused the countries of acting for purposes unknown, and responded with trade measures. The European response was swift and unified. Leaders from all 8 countries issued a joint statement calling the tariffs unacceptable and warning they risk a dangerous downward spiral. Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen was direct: Europe will not be blackmailed. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer called the move completely wrong. French President Macron said no intimidation or threat would influence Europe. Now the EU is considering up to $108 billion in retaliatory tariffs. France has reportedly asked the European Commission to activate its anti-coercion instrument, a legal mechanism designed specifically to respond to economic pressure from non-EU countries. It's never been used. European diplomats call it the bazooka. There are a couple of important wildcards here. First, the European Parliament was set to ratify the US-EU trade deal this week, the one that capped tariffs and eased tensions after last year's trade war. That's now frozen. Second, the Supreme Court is expected to rule this week on whether Trump can use emergency powers to impose tariffs at all. Justices have appeared skeptical. For markets, this matters. The US traded $236 billion in goods with Germany last year, $148 billion with the UK, $122 billion with the Netherlands. Uncertainty about tariff rates makes it harder for companies to plan investment, harder for supply chains to function, harder for everyone to price risk. NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte says he'll meet with Trump at Davos this week. How this unfolds in the next 10 days will shape transatlantic trade for years. Speaking of tragedy, a high-speed train collision in southern Spain Sunday night has killed at least 39 people, with the death toll expected to rise. A train traveling from Malaga to Madrid derailed near Cordoba around 7:45 p.m., jumping onto the adjacent track and slamming into an incoming train carrying 200 passengers. The front carriages of that second train plunged down a 13-foot embankment. What makes this especially unsettling? Spanish officials are baffled. The accident occurred on a straight, flat stretch of track that was renovated just last May at a cost of 700 million euros. The train was 4 years old and had been inspected 3 days earlier. Both trains were traveling below the speed limit. Spanish Transport Minister Oscar Puente called it truly strange, and railway experts agree. Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez declared 3 days of mourning and promised a full investigation with absolute transparency. Spain has the largest high-speed rail network in Europe, and this is its worst rail disaster since 2013. Now let's talk about AI and the economy. Because Davos is officially underway and two themes dominate: who captures AI's productivity gains, and where's the global economy actually headed? The IMF released its updated world economic outlook this morning. The headline: global growth holds steady at 3.3% for 2026. Up 0.2 from October's estimate. That's not acceleration, but it's resilience, and the reasons matter. Trade tensions have eased somewhat as deals have reduced tariff rates from their peak last spring, and AI investment continues to pump capital into the system, boosting asset prices and creating expectations of productivity gains down the road. Here's the key takeaway: the IMF sees AI as a genuine upside catalyst. If adoption accelerates and productivity gains materialize, global growth could get an extra 0.3 percentage points this year and between 0.1 and 0.8 points annually through the medium term. That's significant. The fund also notes that inflation continues declining from 4.1% in 2025 to 3.8% this year. The soft landing narrative survives another quarter. But here's the harder question. Which companies actually capture AI's value? At Davos, OpenAI's Christopher Lehane made a striking claim. Companies using AI effectively are seeing a 7x multiplier in economic productivity. One person generates 7x more economic value. HCL Tech's CEO said something similar. He expects 3-5% revenue growth is now possible without adding headcount because AI handles more of the work. This tracks with what we've been seeing. The WEF released a report today arguing that the gap between companies struggling to adopt AI and those using it effectively can be bridged. But bridging it requires reorganizing processes, investing in people, and building the right governance structures. It's not just about buying the model. It's about knowing how to integrate it. Here's the tension, though. U.S. research firm Gartner says AI is entering the trough of disillusionment, that phase where hype collides with reality and skepticism rises. There's a lot of capital chasing AI right now. Whether it translates into productivity gains or just higher costs is still being determined. One symptom of all that AI investment, a global memory shortage. Micron's executive VP said this weekend that the shortage is unprecedented and will extend beyond 2026. Every major memory manufacturer, Micron, Samsung, SK Hynix, is now allocating capacity to high bandwidth memory for AI data centers, which means less supply for everything else, smartphones, laptops, game consoles. TrendForce expects memory prices to rise 50% this quarter alone. Dell has warned that higher costs will reach consumers. Memory is one of those unglamorous components you don't think about until it's missing. And right now, it's missing everywhere except AI infrastructure. Here's a stat that might make some of you breathe a sigh of relief. Wedding parties are 20% smaller than they were in 2019, according to data from The Knot. The average party is now 8 people, down from 10. Part of what's driving this, being a bridesmaid has become an 18-month commitment featuring destination bachelorette trips, $800 gowns, and constant group chat monitoring. One Atlantic writer calculated she'd spent nearly $20,000 across 7 years of bridesmaid duties. Smaller parties, fewer costs, happier friendships. Looking ahead to this week, the World Economic Forum runs through Friday in Davos. Trump speaks Wednesday and is expected to focus on housing affordability, tariffs, and Fed independence. NVIDIA's Jensen Huang, Microsoft's Satya Nadella, and Anthropic's Dario Amodei are all there, along with about 850 other CEOs. Watch for comments from U.S. Trade Representative Jamieson Greer and Chinese Vice Premier He Lifeng on tariffs and trade. On Wednesday, the Supreme Court hears oral arguments on whether Trump followed the law when he tried to fire Fed Governor Lisa Cook. The justices may also issue opinions that could include a ruling on the legality of Trump's tariffs. Thursday brings a batch of economic data, the PCE price index for November, the Fed's preferred inflation measure, revised Q3 GDP, and jobless claims. These numbers feed directly into the Fed's rate decision next week. Analysts expect rates to hold steady. Also Thursday, the TikTok US spinoff officially closes. A new joint venture, majority owned by Oracle, Silver Lake, and Abu Dhabi's MGX, takes control of the app for 170 million American users. ByteDance retains a 19.9% stake but loses access to US user data. Whether the algorithm actually gets retrained on American data and what that means for the user experience remains to be seen. One more story that's easy to miss. NASA's Artemis II rocket reached the launch pad at Kennedy Space Center on Saturday. It's the first crewed mission to the moon in over 50 years. 4 astronauts, Reid Wiseman, Victor Glover, Christina Koch, and Canadian astronaut Jeremy Hansen, will fly a 10-day loop around the moon and back, testing systems ahead of an eventual lunar landing. Launch is scheduled for February 6th, pending a successful wet dress rehearsal later this month. If it works, it sets up Artemis III to land astronauts on the lunar surface sometime in 2027. We're actually going back to the moon. And tonight, the college football playoff national championship. Undefeated Indiana takes on Miami at Hard Rock Stadium, 7:30 p.m. ET. One more thing before kickoff. College football programs are now worth serious money. Valuations across the top division jumped 46% in the past year, with some teams now worth over $1.5 billion, according to a Wall Street Journal analysis. What's driving it? NCAA rule changes that let players transfer freely and allowed athletic departments to pay athletes up to $20.5 million per year. The theory: spreading talent around creates parity, which makes games more competitive, more watchable, and more bettable. Indiana's valuation jumped 68% this year alone. Mark Cuban, an IU alum, wrote his first direct check to the athletic department in 2024 after the team posted an unexpected 11-2 record. His take: build a balanced roster rather than chase a few expensive stars. Tonight, Heisman-winning quarterback Fernando Mendoza leads a team that hadn't won a bowl game since 1991 into a national championship. Miami is playing for its first title since 2001. It's both programs' first appearance in the title game, and one of them is about to prove the model works. That's your Monday briefing. Greenland tariffs are testing the transatlantic alliance. Spain is mourning a tragedy that shouldn't have happened. AI investment is reshaping both the global economy and the companies that adapt fastest. And tonight, two schools get their shot at history. Stay curious, stay informed, and we'll see you on Tuesday.